the Great Australian Lives Podcast with Craig Willis for Taupin Brothers, celebrating lives.
Joining me this week is acclaimed historian and author Robin Anear. From her base in rural Victoria, Robin has researched and written about some of the more fascinating and dark secrets of the city of Melbourne. Her latest offering encompasses a fascinating insight into the corners of Melbourne, where she delves into parts and corners of the city where people would be afraid to go through, even during the day. Her other works include a dissertation on the Eureka Stockade, the Melbourne landscape, and how Whelan the Wrecker changed the way we know the city today, and a fascinating insight into one of Australia's most infamous stories, the Tichborne Claimant. Stay with us on Great Australian Lives as I chat with Robin Anear. Robin Anear, thank you for joining us here on Great Australian Lives.
Lovely to be here, Craig.
Do you describe yourself as a writer with an interest in history or an historian who loves to write?
No, definitely a writer who's a history enthusiast.
Tell me about the idea behind this latest book, The Corners of Melbourne. When I looked at it, I thought, it's a bit strange, but when I started to read through it, I thought, gee, there is a lot more to it than I thought.
Great. That's exactly how I hoped a reader would feel, Craig. Look, the idea behind it, I've got to tell you, it was a bit of a stunt book for me because I made a commitment to my publishers to put a new Melbourne book together at pretty short notice, and it was a deadline that I put on myself because I had other commitments pushing in. So I had to do it from a standing start with really no idea of what I was going to write about Melbourne. I mean, I'm always bursting with ideas and excitement about Melbourne's history. But I thought, what's my angle going to be? So I started off from a strange place, which was pillar boxes, because I'm quite interested in the postal system, boring though that sounds.
I understand.
So pillar boxes, and I read a bit about the history of and things that happened and how it all worked. And it just wasn't coming together for me, and the deadline was, you know, creeping up on me. So I thought, look, pillar boxes, corners. Pillar boxes are on corners. Why don't I just expand my brief somewhat? So I don't know if you and your listeners know about the fantastic trove historic newspapers available online through the National Library of Australia, but it's digitised newspapers from all the towns and cities of Australia, pretty much from whenever those newspapers started up until the 1950s mostly, and they're searchable. So you can just construct a search for whatever you want, whether it's a family member, an ancestor. In my case, I made a search for on the corner of and then the word street, and just searched Melbourne newspapers from 1850 to 1900 pretty much, and fished in and found all the interesting things I could within that search. So that was why I say it's a kind of a stunt. It's like, how many different ways are there of looking at a place, whether it's a city or your town or your local street? And this was just a game that I played of, what's a new way of looking at Melbourne and what can I find out by doing that? And like you say, street corners just sound pretty bald and exposed, but there is so much history hidden behind those street corners, and it opens out so much of the history of Melbourne that was new to me. I was amazed at what I discovered in the writing of this book, and I hope that, you know, readers will be similarly flabbergasted.
My guest is Robin Anear. This is Great Australian Lives for Taupin Brothers, celebrating lives. Well, Robin, I presume that street corners where the post office boxes were, etc., became meeting places because, you know, the streets seem to connect there, obviously, but, you know, well, you'd run into your neighbour or you'd be talking to the bloke delivering the ice in back in those days, the milk, the bread. So it was it sort of like trivia from the Latin trivia, three roads? Was it a bit like that?
It was a bit like that. Good, well put. It was often an accidental meeting place, but also a rendezvous sometimes. So commonly it was, I'll meet you at the corner of, if you were rendezvousing for a date or something. So it was a meeting place of all sorts, but it was also a place, of course, where roads and streets met. And so in the early days of Melbourne, when there was not much in the way of traffic laws, if any, traffic would literally meet there on many occasions. So there are many incidents in my book of accidents and dramas that happened on street corners in that kind of way, runaway horses and you name it. It was also where the town council would be likely to put, these days we'd call it infrastructure, but things that they'd want to draw attention to, like fountains and public urinals and things of that sort, often water features, drinking fountains. So these also were things that drew people to street corners or took advantage of people being there.
And this, of course, is in the, as you mentioned, the horse and buggy age. And, of course, motor vehicles changed a lot of that, didn't it?
Oh, sure. Yes, absolutely. I mean, with motor vehicles came a lot more regulation around how to use the streets, and not just on the roadways. In fact, on the footpaths, lines were drawn down the middle of the footpaths and signs were posted telling people to stick to the correct side of the footpath, which in the first place was
to the
right.
It stopped a lot of that social interaction, though, didn't it? Back in the old days.
Right. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yes. So whether you were hailing a cab, horse and buggy type cab, or jumping onto a cable tram, which were largely open to the elements, yeah, there was a lot more interaction with people and a lot more hustle and bustle before everybody was encased in their little metal box.
My guest is Robin Anear. This is Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers, celebrating lives. My guest is Robin Anear. This is Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers, celebrating lives. Were there corners that people avoided, and were there corners that we were sort of part of the larrikins or gangs territory that people didn't go near or went a completely different route to avoid?
I certainly think that in the heyday of the larrikins, so we're talking the 1870s through to the 1890s, I guess, there were certain corners that you'd give a wide berth, particularly if you were a lady. And these would be corners like the corner of Burke and Russell Street, or one of the corners on Lonsdale or Little Lonsdale Street up around Exhibition Street or beyond, and certainly out in the suburbs, in the inner suburbs, some of the street corners in Carlton, North Melbourne, Fitzroy, Collingwood and Richmond, and into South Melbourne. Yeah, they were the territory, the claimed territory of the larrikins. And if you, of course, there was often a pillar box on those corners, on those popular larrikin corners. So going to post a letter in those times was, could be not exactly dicing with death, but you had to steel yourself for it. And even once you'd safely posted your letter and scuttled away, you could never be sure that the larrikins weren't going to drop a match or a lit cigarette into the pillar box and set fire to it, which was a frequent occurrence in those decades.
I'm going to put you right on the spot here. If you were living in Melbourne in that era, what's the one street corner you would have avoided? What was the worst one? Was there one that really had a black spot against it?
I reckon it would have been the corner of Little Burke Street and Exhibition Street, which led up into, in either direction, along Little Burke Street into the darkest and seediest parts of Melbourne, up into the areas towards Parliament House, strangely enough. But they really were an area where it was said no policeman would walk alone. So my footprints would have taken me in a different direction altogether from that. That's the one I'd have kept away from.
Was that sort of nearish Chinatown, what we know as Chinatown today?
Yeah, up past Chinatown towards the eastern end of Melbourne, and there were those famous laneways like Bilking Lane, which never appeared, or Bilking Square, which never appeared on any map, but was the darkest corner of Melbourne. And up beyond that, Romeo Lane and Juliet Terrace, which have been renamed these days, as often happened. If a reputation was too bad, you'd simply dust off the name and give it a new one. So that was the part of Melbourne that you would steer away from unless you had some nefarious purpose.
My guest is Robin Anear. This is Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers, celebrating lives. My guest is Robin Anear. This is Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers, celebrating lives. Robin, your curriculum vitae, your CV in writings fascinates me. It's your fascination really with Australian history. How much work has gone in over the years to the story of the Tichborne inheritance and the diggers in the gold fields and of course, some of the wonderful books that you've written that specifically talk about Melbourne, about the Whelan family, Whelan the Wreckers.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all different ways into the past, different portals into the past, if you like. So the Tichborne story was just a wonderful, reeling voyage of discovery. That, you know, of a story that we'll never get to the bottom of was the butcher from Wagga, really the missing Sir Roger Tichborne. That's a story that just goes on and on.
We won't give too much away. We want people to buy and read the book.
I don't know. I'm not sure that I have the answer anyway. and as the Wheel and the Wrecker, that's just a terrific way into under the skin of Melbourne to discover what was there before Wheel and the Wrecker was here, and how Whelan's, you know, wrecked successive buildings on the same site all throughout Melbourne over their 100-year career. And it's, you know, it's a lovely sort of family business history, but also of Melbourne at large.
Hasn't the landscape changed? And you've written so much about it. Is it for the good what we're seeing the city turn into?
Look, it doesn't suit me as well, but you've got to say it's interesting. I mean, the fact that when I first knew Melbourne in the late 70s and into the 1980s, scarcely a person could call Melbourne home, Melbourne CBD. And now, of course, there are thousands and tens of thousands of people living in apartments in the city itself. And that's really changed the nature of street life and what Melbourne has to offer. So, you know, it really was a ghost town on a weekend or at night. And now, you know, Melbourne's always humming because of the fact that it's a living city. It's a place where people live.
And it's still not a bad spot. Robin, it's been a great pleasure to talk to you. And my initial question, are you an historian who likes writing or somebody who likes writing history? I think you encompass both of those.
Well, yeah, I would say I straddle those two.
I think you do it beautifully. Thank you for joining us on Great Australian Lives. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Craig.
If you enjoyed this edition of Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers, download the 3MP app, go to the podcasts. There's plenty there to entertain you.
Thanks for listening to Great Australian Lives with Craig Willis for Tobin Brothers, celebrating lives.